All right, I'm calling the meeting to order at 1:31. We have minutes from March 21st, 2019. Looking for a motion to approve.
Frank Holley moves to approve.
Frank Harrison, second.
You say where you're from, if you like that? Okay. All right, are there any questions on the minutes? Hearing none, all in favor, vote to signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, motion carries. All right, staff reports. We're going to start with the financial progress report, attachment 3A in your packet.
All right, thank you, Mayor. Again, thanks for coming out on this beautiful day. I always get a little nervous about quorums when it's nice and sunny out, so I appreciate it. Financial progress report, 3A, attachment. You see we spent about 54% of the budget through March. We plan to have some additional expenditures through some of our pavement stuff that we're going to be talking about, which I will talk about the next item. But with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions? All right, looks like we do need a motion on this. So I need a motion to accept this financial progress report.
Motion to accept, Gerard Neugebauer.
Is there a second?
Broski, second.
Any more discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying yay.
Aye.
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 Yay! Yay!
All right, please.
Fire at that meeting.
Anybody opposed, say no. All right, motion carries. Thank you. All right, back to Curtis for the technical progress report.
All right, thank you again. So first, I don't know if some of you saw about, I think, 3 weeks ago now, the Trump administration met with Senate Minority Leader and the House Majority Leader, Pelosi and Schumer. And when they walked out of the room, they said that they had a $2 trillion agreement for infrastructure. However, there were no details provided of that time or any pay-fors. My understanding is that they were going to again sit down. And Carrie, was that this week? That I think that they were sitting down either today or tomorrow where they were supposed to discuss potentially some of those pay-fors. But, you know, $2 trillion, no one even knows the time frame. Are they talking over 10 years? 5 years, you know, probably not any less than that. But I guess if you're looking at it from a positive perspective, this is at least, it's still a talking point. It's still being discussed at the federal level. From a negative perspective, everyone sort of thinks once election season really starts to hum here by August, that infrastructure will be off the table until the election. So I was reading that they think there's a very small window of opportunity, and how quickly it closes is sort of going to depend on if we see anything. But there is a ray of hope. On the AMATS side, I talked to this at the mayors and managers meeting when I was there, as well as with our TAC tip and TAC, is that AMATS did put out a request for qualifications to hire a firm to do some pavement analysis. When we did our ODOT local, some sampling of our PCR data that we get from ODOT, we had put out community numbers, and no offense to ODOT, but I think we got a lot of pushback on numbers, and you know, we've always heard kind of complaints on the size of the segments, as well as where we don't know where they're rating the road specifically in a mile stretch, and it can kind of give us some skewed numbers. And so I think we felt finally that it's time to take the plunge and actually do some pavement analysis ourselves, and control sort of the party that's going to be doing it. So I know there are some communities in our region that do this already on their local roads. We would be doing it on the federal aid roadway system, including state routes and municipalities. And when we get that data, we will then, not for this round of funding, but then for the next round of funding, use that as our primary source to not only determine what roadway condition is when you apply for funding, but also to help us budget what those costs are and how much, you know, if our goal is for our region to be at, say, a 70 pavement rating, what kind of money does AMATS need to put into the resurfacing program to get there, and how do we resurface, or how do we restructure the program to make that work? So we're excited about it. We think it'll provide us with a lot of good data that we will share with all of you, and we're hoping it'll come online even later this year. So otherwise, the presentations you're going to see today are mostly, we have a lot of sort of administrative stuff that we do every year around May. And we continue to work towards our long-range plan, which is horizon year of 2045 is when we're looking at. So luckily at 2045, we're all going to be burning water and driving Jetson space vehicles. So our work's already taken care of. So. Yeah. But anyway, if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Are there any questions of Curtis? Okay. Thank you, Curtis. Moving on, we have no old business. All right.
Oh, sorry, you missed the three.
I'm sorry, Minnesota Federal Funds Report. Dave Goulet. Dave, I was skipping right over you.
No, that's okay.
I didn't need to.
Thank you. A couple things I'd like to mention pertaining to funding is on Thursday, April 25th, we had a TAC TIP meeting at our office, and we discussed the payment condition, getting a system-wide PCI scoring system in place, and also a couple other items we discussed was possibly limiting the number of projects for sponsor to 3 projects per funding category, and we had a couple other, we have a couple more things that we want to try to iron out, so we have another TAC TIP meeting scheduled next Tuesday, May 21st at 9 a.m. And once again, that will be in our office in the Ocasek office building. It'll be in a conference room that's just right down the hall from our office. We had a project review meeting on Friday, April 12th, and one of the things that seemed to come out of that meeting was some of our resurfacing projects have been pushed out into 23 and 24 into years that are, you know, way out there with low PCR levels. And I did want to let you know that we do understand, you know, your need to move those up. And if there's any way possible, we will try to move those up to help you out. If by some miracle funding becomes available through jobs, other jobs moving or what have you. So I did want to let you know we do understand that that there is a need to move those up if possible. And finally, we will be accepting applications this summer. CMAQ applications will be due on Friday, July 26th. And we do have our application posted on our website now. We don't have the other ones posted because there may be a few little changes to those depending on what comes out of our next TAC TIP meeting. But our other applications, STBG and TASA, will be due at the end of August. So. I'm hoping that I can schedule a application workshop if there's enough interest, possibly in June, just to kind of go over the proper way to fill out an application and maximize your points. Couple other things. I learned just last week that we will be getting around $2.5 million. This is called a true-up from the federal government. The best way I can explain it is the amount that we get is calculated, and then once the amount that we should get is actually, or I'm sorry, the amount that we get is estimated, and then when the amount that we should get is actually calculated, sometimes there's a little bit of a difference, and fortunately, there was a $2.5 million difference, so I'm thinking we will see that in 19, but probably 20. It'll probably, we'll get that in fiscal year 20. So that's all I have. The sun is setting on fiscal year 19. I think most of our projects have sold, so we're in pretty good shape, and we're also in pretty good shape with balances. So, if there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
What happens with that $2.5 million?
That's a good question.
Probably wanted to do South Main out there, I thought.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean,
that's what I thought.
Once again, if we can possibly use it to advance some projects, we'll try to.
The goal will be to advance projects.
Yes.
Once, right now, it hasn't hit the ODOT books. Once it does, and we see what our program, when we finalize 19, I think we'll hopefully, I mean, I don't know, Dave, what it probably internal estimates have, maybe $1 million after the over-programming, or you know, there might be some opportunity to move a few projects up. So we'll be taking a look at that.
Yeah, I haven't forgotten about the request I've had for the community. So hopefully we can do that for them.
All right, thank you, Dave. All right, there is no old business. Okay, I'm moving on to new business. We have Amy Crater here to speak about preservation needs report, attachment 5A in your packet. Amy.
Hello, I did the highway preservation needs report. There we go. The purpose of this report is to determine the cost to maintain the existing highway system between now and 2045. The existing highway system is made up of roadways and bridges within our area. This is the mileages of all the roadways in the NMAX area, from all the way from interstates all the way down to local roadways. The federal aid system does not pay for minor collectors or local roadways. So we have a total of 4,774 miles, but only 1,231 miles are actually eligible for federal funds. The pavement condition ratings are determined by ODOT every 2 years, and the average pavement condition ratings for the MS areas have improved. The roads have actually gotten better system-wide by 1.95 points. The state routes only improved 0.69, whereas the non-state routes improved 3.52 points. And the PCRs for each community are listed in the report and the changes that happened in the last 2 years. We have 1,310 bridges in the AMATS area, and only 947 of those are actually eligible for federal funds. We took out all the bridges under 20 feet, all the railroad bridges, and there's one Army bridge out by the arsenal, and then all the private bridges. Most of the private bridges are like skywalk bridges and pedestrian bridges that are actually owned by companies or places like Children's Hospital or cities, things like that. So those are not covered under federal funds. We only have 41 out of 947 bridges that are considered poor. Two of those bridges are actually completely closed to all traffic, including pedestrian traffic. And 8 of those bridges have posted load restrictions. The highway preservation costs, we look at both resurfacing and replacement. And for bridge preservation, we look at painting the structure, deck overlay, deck replacement, and total superstructure replacement. We assume 2 resurfacings in the AMATS area between now and 2045. And we assumed 5% of all the roadways would be completely replaced between now and 2045. As a reminder, minor collectors and locals are not eligible for federal funds. The costs were estimated based on lane mileage, and they were estimated in 2019 for about $1. And so we have $1.25 billion estimated just for resurfacing costs between now and 2040, and we have $0.16 billion in pavement replacement costs between now and 2045. For bridges, these are the costs that we got from ODOT for estimates, and the bridge costs were estimated by the decking area, and then we took the number the 27-year span that we're looking at and divided it by the number of years to come up with a fraction, and then we multiplied that times the decking area of all the eligible lots. So we have 8.4 million square feet of decking area in the MS area. And that gives us about $2.4 billion of bridge preservation needs between now and 2045. In summary, we have a total of approximately $3.78 billion that we're going to need to spend to just maintain the system between now and 2045. And that's actually an increase from last time of about 17%. We did not add any road lane miles in that time, and the bridge mileage was very minimal additions. So most of this cost is just inflation costs. Questions?
Appendix A, sorry. Appendix A, you have a status. There's a number of letters, A, B, P, X. What do those stand for?
It's actually in the report itself. Let's see if I can remember. A is just regular bridge, no restrictions. I think K is closed. P is a posted limit. In the report.
Okay, you covered the one I was curious about. Thank you.
Page 7.
Yeah, that's the only one.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Let me hear PCR ratings for state highways within a municipality. Does that include the interstate local likes like State Route 8, State Route 21?
Yep. Anything that is a state route and
anything
that's an interstate or U.S.
route, all that's considered the state system. Well, thanks for the great news. That's another gas tax, you know it. All right, thank you. Do we need a motion on this? Do we need a motion to accept the preservation needs report? Is there a motion?
Jim Bowen, City Council.
Is there a second?
Second, Bill Judge.
All right, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Thank you. All right, moving on to Phyllis. Resolution 6, 2019-5, reestablish transportation conformity for ozone and fine particle matter standards in the Cleveland Akron Lorain area. That's attachment 6A.
Thank you. Resolution 2019-05 reestablishes transportation air quality conformity for ozone and fine particulate matter exams within the 8 County Cleveland Akron Lorain non-attainment area. Transportation conformity is required to demonstrate that emissions resulting from planned transportation system improvements should not exceed an area's emissions budgets in meeting national air quality standards. A new 2015 8-hour ozone standard has been established in the Cleveland Akron Lorain non-attainment area, and this is compared with the 2008 maintenance area ozone standard, along with fine particulate matter standards, and they're shown in tables 1-4. The results of the air quality analyses are that the area's existing plans, programs, and projects meet the conformity requirements. This resolution establishes AMAT's with the updated transportation conformity. With that, the staff recommends approval of this resolution. Are there any questions?
Okay. No questions? All right. Hearing none, we need a motion to accept resolution 2019-05.
Lou Bercher and Ira.
Is there a second?
Motion. Frank Harrison.
Any more discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Thank you, Phyllis. All right, and we're moving on to Dave Poulet once again, resolution 2019-2006. thousand six. Let's go backwards.
Okay, thank you. Amendment 18 to the TIP is adding two new resurfacing projects to the TIP. Now, these resurfacing projects are funded through ODOT. Both of them are urban paving program projects, and they're being added to the TIP because MS is adding $150,000 to each project to fund subbase repair and curb ramps. And that is part of our program, our subbase and curb ramp repair, where we help the locals with these items. So the first one is State Route 59 in Kent between the Summit County line and State Route 43 North Manaway Street. And the other one is US 224, which is in Akron. And part of it is in Akron and part of it is in Springfield Township. So the staff does recommend adding these two projects to the TIP and $150,000 of STBG funding to each project for sub-base repairs and curb ramps. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Okay. All right, this requires a motion.
Frost is so moved.
Is there a second?
Cleary, second.
Are there any other questions? Hearing none. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Thank you, Dave. All right, resolution 2019-07, attachment 6C, and it's the fabulous Heather who's going to give the report.
Thank you.
You're
welcome. And good afternoon. Attachment 6C, resolution 2019-07, is the final transportation planning work program and budget for the fiscal year of AMS fiscal year of 2020. Will begin July 1st of this year, so in a little over a month. A draft of the work program has been was approved in January by the policy committee, which was then submitted to ODOT for review. After receiving comments from both ODOT and FHWA and incorporating those into the program, the major elements of the plan remain the same. Therefore, AMS staff is requesting approval of the fiscal year 2020 transportation planning work program and budget. Answer any questions.
And Heather, if I may, because I forgot to add this in my technical progress report, is that Rittman is a member of AMATS there in Wayne County. They are now again interested in paying dues and coming back into the fold. If they do so, the local share amounts that are listed here would potentially be lower. So if the numbers, when you get an invoice, if the numbers don't match up, it's because Rittman has decided to become join again.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Hearing none, we need a motion to approve resolution 2019-07.
So moved. Whistler.
Is there a second?
Jim Ballin, second.
All right. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Motion carries. Thank you, Heather. All right, we're moving on to resolution 2019-08, and that's attachment 6D in your packet. Jeff Gardner.
Thank you, Mayor. Attachment 6D is two resolutions packaged together as one. We do both of these resolutions every year in order to remain certified as a metropolitan planning organization. Resolution 2019-08 reaffirms AMAT's annual approval of its regional transportation plan, Transportation Outlook 2040. The same resolution also reaffirms the existing TIP and affirms the consistency of both of these documents with the state implementation plan for air quality conformity. The TIP and the 2040 plan have both been analyzed for air quality conformity in coordination with ODOT and have been found to be in accord with federal regulations. The staff is recommending approval of resolution 2019-08. Are there any questions?
All right. Hearing none, looking for a motion to approve.
Motion, Girardi Jamar.
Is there a second?
Second, Connie Krause.
All right, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, motion carries on 2019-08. Jeff, you're going to go on with 09.
The second half of that, every 4 years, the US DOT certifies that AMS is operating according to planning federal guidelines. quadrennial federal certification review. The USDOT did certify that AMATS may continue to conduct the planning process. In addition to that, annually the AMATS Policy Committee is required to self-certify that it is conducting the planning process according to federal regulations. With Resolution 2019-09, the Policy Committee certifies that the AMATS transportation planning process is being implemented in compliance with all applicable federal requirements. AMATS activities are carried out under the continuing supervision of ODOT, and the staff is recommending approval of Resolution 2019-09. Are there any questions?
Okay, hearing none, motion to approve Resolution 2019-09.
So moved, Judge.
Is there a second?
Gerard Neugebauer.
Any other questions? Hearing none. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carried. Thank you, Jeff. Dave Poulet, you're back up. All right, resolution, letter E, resolution 2019-10, attachment 6E in your packet.
Okay, amendment 19 is adding federal money to an existing interchange reconstruction project in Portage County at Interstate 76 and Talmadge Road. This project has been under development for a while now. At the request of ODOT, $110,885 to federal funding is being added to detailed design phase of this project. And that is scheduled in fiscal year 2020, which we will soon be in. The staff is recommending approval of Resolution 2019-10, Amendment 19 to the TIP.
Okay, are there any questions? I thought maybe you had one. Mayor Broskow, if you're looking.
No, it's a great project.
So he made the motion.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any other questions? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Thank you. All right, we are going to move on to other business. We have a presentation today by Metro and PARTA. We've got a designated state funding for transit. So we have Claudia and Dawn. Who's going to be presenting? All right.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, for allowing us to have some time on your agenda today. A big picture look at what transit looks like in Ohio today, and hopefully give you a little bit of a glimpse into how PARTA, Portage County, and Metro and Summit County fit into this big picture of Ohio transit today. So, in 2015, ODOT released a study that they conducted over several years. It was called the Statewide Transit Needs Study. And this study gathered data between the years of 2012 and 2014. And the bottom line of this study, as quoted in the first slide, is that transit investment is an integral part of Ohio's future. We're going to cover a little bit about that today, right from the study slides that ODOT has provided to me. We're going to talk a little bit about new developments that are impacting transit funding since the release of this study in 2015. And we're going to talk about our request for AMAT's support for finding a dedicated source of transit funding in Ohio. So the Transit Needs Study was issued in a final report form in January of 2015. And the next several slides come right out of this study. It was a very thorough, deep dive of sorts into every aspect of public transit. It resulted in a final report that is quite thorough, and then also 10 study reports and 8 initiative papers, as well as a finding snapshot and at a glance paper that we have distributed at your tables, which give a good solid overview of the findings. So the big picture finding that the study documented is that demand is growing in Ohio for transit services, and it's growing both in the urban areas and the rural areas. And an interesting dynamic that was identified is that it's growing in both populations that have choice about how to transport themselves around and in populations that don't have so many choices. And so we see that millennials and older generations who have choices are choosing, in many cases, to live in communities where they can walk to get their cup of coffee, where they can have maybe just one car or no cars. Bikeable communities, pedestrian-friendly communities tend to be transit-friendly as well, and there's a growing trend for this in our state. And then for the populations that have fewer choices, older folks who may not be able to drive anymore, and poorer folks, our population is getting both older and poorer. And so this is affecting the need for transit now and in the future. And people all across Ohio use transit to get to all sorts of places, to work, to doctor's appointments, to dialysis appointments, just to the grocery store or to universities. So this table shows that Ohio is growing older in the first, that's a little hard to see, but in the first state capture, you can see that Summit and Portage counties in 2010, the amount of 60 and older population in Portage was at 10 to 20%. And then in Summit was 20 to 25%. And then moving as a projection into 2050, these numbers of 60 and older grow in Portage to 25 to 30% in the orange. And for Summit County, 30 to 35% of the population will be 60 or older. Poverty is also high in Ohio. The poverty rate eclipses the national rate. This is 2012 data, which shows that both Portage and Summit counties have 18 to 25% of folks living at or beneath the poverty level. So the funding levels, I say current because this is as of 2014 when the study was being put together, is that the state of Ohio dedicates about $7.3 million to fund public transit in Ohio in this year. That makes up about 1% of the transit spending, and then ODOT flexes about $20 million to help offset the growing needs for service. And on average, local communities support transit at about 55% of the total cost. Slightly different way to look at that picture. How did we get here? Well, transit funding peaked in the year 2000. And so down on the left-hand corner, you can see that transit funding was about $43 million, and it began decreasing in 2000. Down to 2014. The gray area shows the federal highway funds that the state began flexing to help offset the loss of general revenue funding. So Ohio is one of 61 transit systems total in the state. And all across Ohio, about 115 million trips are performed by these transit agencies. Nationwide, Ohio ranks 14th in ridership and 7th in population, but we are near the bottom in state support, down at 63 cents per capita, which is 38th in the nation. The study documented unmet needs, so looked at the needs that could be assessed that simply weren't being met, but there was a demand for. There are 26 counties in Ohio that have no public transit service at all. And so the needs that exist in these communities that are simply not being met amounted to an estimated about $192 million, which reflects the capital investment and the operating funds that would be needed to deploy service on the road to meet those needs. The study also assessed system backlog and capital preservation. And the backlog for current systems in Ohio was about $273 million to bring all vehicles, facilities, and infrastructure to a state of repair. The recommendation that came out of the study was for Ohio to fund 10% of transit needs. If this had happened in 2015, the funding would have been about $120 million. And in 2025, the funding level should be $185 million if the state is to assume about 10% of the cost. The Ohio Public Transit Association is the trade association of Ohio that represents public transit authorities. And since the release of the transit needs study, our focus has been on securing federal, state, and local dollars to meet the needs of all Ohioans. We've been working hard to urge legislators to read the study, to review the findings, and to support transit at a rate of about 10%, and also propose some options for dedicated state funding. A new development that we learned about in 2016-2017 was the impending loss of a source of sales tax revenue through the loss of Medicaid managed care organizations being removed from the sales tax base. It's a federal requirement that Ohio had to abide by to remove these entities from paying sales tax. The statewide impact was going to mean for the state a loss of nearly $600 million. Counties were affected at the tune of about $159 million, and eight RTAs in Ohio, which have dedicated sales tax funding support, were affected at the cost of about $39 million.
We got a question on that. What is happening with the sales tax for the online? I thought that Congress saw that.
That's not within the scope of my presentation, as I don't know if that has been updated. I do know what you're talking about. I don't have an answer for that. It doesn't impact the MCO sales tax at all, that affecting transit at this point. Sorry, it's just not within my bucket of wind. The state did find a way to patch the hole that it was going to experience. Counties and transit authorities received some traditional aid during the last several years, but beginning in 2019, the full impact of the loss of this source of revenue will be felt locally by PARTA and by Metro to the tune of about 6-7% of each of our respective sales tax revenues. For PARTA, this means just over $328,000, and for Metro, it means just under $3.3 million. So to give you an idea of how we are funded, this is a slide straight from the National Transit Database, which is a national network of data collection for all transit agencies in the nation. This is 2017 reporting year, PARTA's data. You can see that about 56.5% of our revenues, operating revenues, come from our local sales tax. We have a 0.25% dedicated sales tax in Portage County that generates just about $5 million a year. State funding supports about 2% of our operating expenses. Metro RTA in Summit County receives a 0.5% dedicated sales tax. This generates just under $42 million, and it comprises about 83.5% of total operating revenues. State funding for Metro is, you can see it, is 0.3%, less than 1%. So OPTA, in this last round of transportation budget discussions, took a stand to support Governor DeWine's gas tax proposal increase. OPTA sees transit as part of the overall infrastructure in Ohio and feels that the highways and roads and bridges are long overdue. The increase is long overdue to support our local roads and our economies. And
for their support behind that initiative with the it's the same message, and these messages are on your table as well. I indicated that it was time to look at transit and find some dedicated funding as part of the transportation infrastructure in Ohio as well. Opta's budget request this year for the transportation budget was based on the 2025 goal of $185 million that was outlined in the study, and we proposed four strategies for possibly funding that goal. To date, I just had a call this morning with the Opta Executive Committee, and the promised $70 million that came out of the transportation budget discussions and now is being rolled into the general revenue fund is still in place. ODOT is working out how those funds will be distributed. There is a meeting in Columbus on May 29th that I'll be attending. They're not giving us any hints. My guess is that it's likely to fund capital projects and not likely to fund operating. Of course, we do have capital needs, but as we watch our operating funds diminish, it's difficult to meet that local match requirement for capital funding requests. So we'll need to see how that rolls out, but we deeply appreciate the increase that, for the first time in many years, we've seen from the General Assembly. And so in sum, today, we just ask for your support. We know that the needs for transit are growing. It's documented. We know that they're not going to go away. We know that Ohio is getting older and poorer, and we're behind the eight ball already. So we would ask AMAT support for just a statement of support for the state trying to find a dedicated source of funding for transit to try to meet that 10% goal that was identified in study, and also cross the finish line with the $70 million that was promised. And with that, I'd be happy to answer your questions. Any questions?
And I think, as we remember, you know, from our previous meetings, we talked about when we did the gas tax support letters of support. There was a request to add transit, and we felt like we couldn't because we really didn't have a board support, you know, on the record of saying, yes, we support a state-dedicated funding source. We asked for that, and then there was a core request to bring more data to the board so that you guys could see, you know, what some of the needs were, especially on the state funding side and the operating side. And that's kind of been, I think, the culmination of Claudia being up here today and presenting that. And I think, you know, from a staff perspective, what we would like is to have that motion of support so that we can, you know, write a letter of support kind of with what Claudia has outlined, looking for a dedicated state funding source. I think from our perspective, you know, when we can get ODOT away from flexing federal highway money and get them more towards finding a different source for transit and keeping the federal highway money with ODOT and with the federal transportation, federal aid system, et cetera, we think that's a win-win. And I think especially for smaller agencies like PARTA that really do kind of operate on a shoestring budget, no offense, but that, you know, these are critical funds that most states our size are providing more aid than we do now as a state. And so, you know, we as staff, I think it's a good thing to support.
Yeah, I think we've got, as mayors, we've got to try to, encourage our representatives and senators. I've done that. The problem was with that 18 cents proposed tax by the governor, which I supported, and I sent my representative, and like Akron's got more than one. Other people have more than one, but I have one representative and one senator, and encouraged them. But by the time I got the letter written and sent, they'd already made the compromise at 10%. So I don't think they really get any input from anybody except themselves. It was all within the legislature, kind of a compromise before anything was even heard by the cities, the villages, and the counties. I'm hoping we can get some movement on that local government because that's an important item for all of us, cities, counties, townships, everything. I think that my point is that the mayors, a lot of them are here, is, and representatives, you have your own representatives. And I know that my senator and state rep, although state rep is leaving, depend on the mayors for their support to get elected. They've told me that. Right, Mayor?
Sometimes. So the question today is, do we want to write a letter of support? And so I think we look for a motion to do that in a second, and then we can have more discussion if we would like.
I would say with the motion, include all the communities in our AMATS district. You know, let the legislators know in this district.
I make a motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. Is there any discussion? And of course, we'll. What we did in the past with the other letter was we went through it, and we believe we sent it out to everybody for any comments. We should do that again, and then we can get it out. All right. Any more discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Thank you. All right. How long did this take? This was a long one. It's 2:17. All right. Unless there's anything else, I'll ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved, Dr. Harrison.
Okay. Ball in second.
We're all in favor.
All in favor?
Aye.